AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. It is Friday, our final Friday in February here in 2022. I'm Craig Mish, along today with George Kurtz for the next hour. We got you here on Sports Grid. We're going to talk a little fantasy baseball and give you a little preview in the DFS side of some NASCAR with our friend Jim Sanis. But George, great to be with you here on this Friday. I figured by now you and I would have a full discussion on fantasy baseball and who to take and who you've been drafting and who you're not drafting, but yet we still sit and wait for these two sides to get their act together. But good to see you, that's for sure.
Always good to see you, Craig. And yeah, I wish you were talking baseball. I wish you and I were talking opening day, and like I said, all the drafts and who you got, who you took so far, who's your most favorite pick, somebody you're avoiding, you know, stuff like that. Stuff strategy. You're taking pitches early, you're taking hitters early, you know, that sort of thing here. Instead, everything's sort of in a holding pattern. Yeah, it's just all sad. It's just all sad, man. I'm not one to get all that worried. I'm the belief they won't start till May 15th, but I'm not all that worried that all this bluster in the media, we're not going to play as 162. We're going to play the game. The schedule is scripted. Some teams will play 150. Some teams will play 151. That's all negotiable once they do figure things out here. Craig, I'll start to worry, and I am worried about hearing about this any day when I hear talks have broken down. That's what I'll worry.
Yeah, and listen, that could be today. They're scheduled to meet again at 1 o'clock Eastern, so if anything happens, definitely keep you updated on that. For now, let's get to our headlines here on the show. Actually, a pretty interesting story that Brett just sent over. Sean Payton could potentially, who knows? I mean, it's certainly possible if Troy Aikman leaves to go to ESPN that Sean Payton could be the number one guy at Fox and be in the booth there, so certainly we'll see how that goes. Pay attention to that one. Caris LeVert out 1 to 2 weeks with a foot sprain in the NBA. Of course, they returned last night. Number 16 USC survives a double overtime scare at Oregon State. Zdeno Chara sends a record for the most games played by a defenseman. He breaks Chris Chelios' record. And Pekka Rinne has his number 35 retired by the Nashville Predators. And George, that's the first number retired by the Nashville Predators, of course, because they have not been around for all that long.
No, he was a fantastic goaltender, Pekka Rinne. I would say he deserves to have his number retired. I am one of those people who's very – I'm the Yankee fan, right? And they're retiring poor O'Neill's number. Love Paul O'Neill. That's a stretch. That's a stretch, you know, for the Yankees to retire his number here. And I love O'Neill. I have his jersey. And I love O'Neill. Love him as an announcer. I think I enjoy his announcing. Probably not retiring his number. But the Yankees watered that down a while back. Tino Martinez. I mean, come on. That's what are we doing here? But Pekka Rinne, I think, does deserve to have his number retired by Rinne. He was that organization for a while. Good for Pekka. And Nashville, they pulled a 2-1 overtime victory last night in the shootout.
Yeah, I think they beat the Panthers also this week, so a couple of big wins for them this week, no doubt. All right, so let's dive in a little to the top story, I guess, just in general in sports. It doesn't really affect fantasy all that much, but, I mean, Sean Payton left kind of the Saints, I suppose. He didn't leave them high and dry. The Saints kind of left him high and dry. I think he saw the writing on the wall, George, that this is I think the Saints are going to take a big step back this year. It just, to me, it does not appear that they are ready to compete in the NFC. But Sean Payton, look, they made a movie about the guy. Maybe he's a good broadcaster, maybe not. I remember when Tony Romo first got the gig at CBS, we all sort of panned it. I think Romo turned out to be okay right now. I think people are kind of going the other way, actually, on Romo. But at the time, he was like the best broadcaster ever. What do you think about Sean Payton if that ends up happening?
Well, as we welcome in our radio audience, Fantasy Sports Today, he's Craig Mish. I'm George Kurtz. It'd be an interesting move here just to make him the number one automatically. Wow, we've seen that. That hasn't worked out in the past. Think Jason Witten with the Cowboys. Oh, you'll put a picture on Monday Night Football. He bombed, right? He was kind of dull, kind of boring.
Emmitt Smith.
It'd be gutsy, Greg. It would be gutsy. And I like Sean Payton. I do like him. You know, I think he would do a good job maybe eventually. I just don't know if you give the guy the keys to the the car right away here. So I'm a little worried there. But what we're seeing here is that they're offering so much money, right? They want to get Sean McVay from the Rams, too. They're offering – once again, Romo money, $18 million, around that. If I'm McVay, I could coach. And I could probably coach for two-thirds of that. I'll get $10-12 million, but I got to be on the field all the time here. I can be for my family, or I can call one game a week and get $10-12 million. Boy, I'm doing that. I'll be the announcer gladly here. And we know someone like McVay, he's already said he's not going to be a football lifer. Sean Payton, I think, might be burned out a little bit. I think he said it. The Saints, let's see. They don't have a quarterback. They have a running back who might be going to jail and is going to get suspended by Goodell if he doesn't go to jail. They have a wide receiver who doesn't want to play for you, right? Michael Thomas, I don't know what's going on there, but he didn't want to play football last year. He's gone. Defense is good, but it's not locked down crazy 2000 Ravens good.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have going for you here? I don't blame Peyton one little bit to say, oh, yeah, I'm burned out. I got to get away from here.
Yeah, I think it was a smart move. Now, whether or not he succeeds at TV is another story. I think the reviews on his quarterback, by the way, Drew Brees, have been sort of lukewarm. I think he's done okay with NBC. But look, you saw the number potentially for Troy Aikman. It was put out there that he could make $17 million a year to call games for ESPN on Monday Night Football. I can only imagine what, you know, Sean Payton's going to get paid more money in all likelihood to be on Fox than he did coach the Saints, which is just incredible. All right, coming up next, the last week, very exciting finish at the Daytona 500 as Austin Cindric takes up. We're going to find out who potentially will this week as they are back on the track. Our buddy Jim Sanis has gone through all the simulations over at NumberFire and FanDuel. Those of you who have never played NASCAR on FanDuel, great opportunity right now. Pull up that app. We're going to help you with that. Then the Raz Slam draft is underway, which is a fantasy baseball best ball draft for a lot of the people in the industry. And Gray Albright will join us on the show. So stay on the grid. Plenty more to come here on this Friday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on a Friday. One of the great things about Jim Stannis is I feel like no matter what the sport is, I could just toss to Jim, and Jim is going to tell me how I can make money betting or playing in DFS. That's definitely going to be the case moving forward, as Jim was with us all fantasy football season. Last week I was off. I believe Jim was here, if I'm not mistaken. But last season, for those of you who missed it, Jim joined us, and he talked NASCAR with us all season long, and so we're ready to dive back into that this week. And Jim, it is great to see you once again, and as always, thank you for being on the show. How are you?
It is great to see you as well, and I'm great because, like, there's no off season between NFL and NASCAR season, and, like, it means I don't get bored, and I don't like getting bored, so I think that that's, like, the biggest pro for me is, like, I have stuff to distract myself, running some, like, simulations for the Xfinity series and the truck series this year, so finding ways to keep myself entertained slash distracted, which is always welcome in 2022 for sure.
Right. And I'm sorry I was not with you last week. I thought I'd be traveling around the state of Florida with my son for spring training. So I took the week off from Sports Grid last week to do it. Then when it didn't happen, you know, I was like, I don't know, maybe I should wait a week or two. And in talking to some of people at Sports Grid, they're like, you know, just, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. And who knows if there's going to be a spring training. So I didn't. So I missed our preview of the Daytona 500. Now, I'm going to guess if I had you here. And I don't know, because you'd have to tell me the results. I'm going to guess Sindrich was not the pick last week for the Daytona 500, because it came out of nowhere. I saw his odds on FanDuel and DFS that, like, random people were winning money on this Daytona 500 last week. At least that's the way that I saw it. Is that true?
Yeah, so I didn't have him. I looked back at my simulations after the fact and looked back at what they saw. They had Sindrich at 2.9% to win. His outright odds were, I think, 3.2% implied. So a little bit off there, but, like, I think that's fine, honestly. You know, he was a very talented driver in the Xfinity series, driving for great equipment, has awesome teammates. So it made a lot of sense. I was on him on the dual races on Thursday, so benefited financially from him there, just not quite on the race on Sunday because he was starting so high in the order.
Okay, so before we get to the DFS look this week, we're going to go through some of the pricing and some of the tiers. Where are we this weekend in the races?
We are at Auto Club Speedway in Fontana. First time they have been there since 2020 because they didn't go out there this past year due to the pandemic. But it's a unique track because it is a heavy tire wear 2 mile track. And there's no other track like that on the circuits. If you're looking for, like, close comps, there's no track that's like a direct comp to Fontana. But I think that Atlanta, because it is a larger track, has a lot of tire fall off. That's a good one to look at. I look at Michigan because it's the same configuration as Fontana. Pocono a bit too, because it is a heavy speed track. And then also other tracks with heavy tire wear. Darlington, Homestead, stuff like that. Those are the things I'll focus on most in trying to project what we can expect in Fontana this weekend.
All right, so let's help people build a lineup on FanDuel. Let's start with the tiers of the 12,000s. These are the highest price drivers going into the weekend. There will be some variances Jim will talk about based on practice rounds and everything like that too. So let's just kind of run through it. Picking up right basically where we left off last year with Kyle Larson. He is priced at $14,000 this weekend, and Chase Elliott is $13,500. I feel like Busch has moved up from where he was at the beginning of last year. He's at $13,000 in the race this weekend. Of course, Denny Hamlin at $12,500, and Martin Truex Jr. is $12,000 in the race at 3:30 Eastern on Sunday. All right, so how do we build from the higher price tier?
Yeah, so this is kind of a thing we discussed a lot last year, Craig, where looking at Kyle Larson's betting odds, they're kind of short. He's 4-1 to win over at FanDuel Sportsbook. I can't get there. My sims have him at 15%. That's 20% implied. So I can't bet him, but I can use him in DFS at $14,000. The reason you'd want to is because Larson and Hendrick Motorsports in general were awesome on this track type last year, the big fast tracks. He should have won the first Pocono race, finished second in the second Pocono race. He was up at the front for most of the race in Michigan as well. Didn't have as good of a car as William Byron did, but ran really well during that race. And we know that Larson runs well on the tracks with heavy tire wear like Homestead and Atlanta. So I think that if you want financial exposure to Kyle Larson, your best route for doing so is in DFS at $14,000. I'd expect Hendrick Motorsports to try pretty hard here because they tried it every track type last year, whereas Joe Gibbs Racing and Penske seemed to prioritize tracks that were in the playoffs. You know, there's no big fast track in the playoffs, so I don't think it'll be a priority for them. I do think Hendrick will care, though. They want those trophies. They want those wins. Larson is best route for getting there. So to me, Kyle Larson is a standout here. That's not a shock. I do think that Denny Hamlin is interesting given how good he was on the tracks with heavy tire fall off last year. But I think that Larson just really hard to fade, even with that salary being high at $14,000.
All right, well, if you want to save some salary and go with some other drivers this weekend, here are the drivers that are priced just below $12,000. So in that $10,000 to $12,000 range, we have Ryan Blaney. He is at $11,500. William Byron is $11,000. Joey Logano, no surprise, is $10,500. We have Bowman at $10,000. And then maybe a surprise here just below it, Kevin Harvick as $9,700. Didn't expect to see his name so high up.
Yeah, your view of Harvick kind of depends on if you expect Stewart Haas Racing to bounce back this year. I kind of do, given that given that Harvick's pretty good, the Fords look good. But I think the key standout for me in this tier is William Byron at $11,000 because last year he's not generally good in Atlanta, and that's kind of I think the best overlap track for Fontana. But Byron won in Homestead. That's a heavy tire fall off track. He probably should have won in Michigan. He was on the podium in Pocono for the first race there, so on big fast tracks, he was very good. He was very good on the heavy tire fall off track in Homestead. So I think there are a lot of reasons to say maybe you'll want to get on William Byron at $11,000. Ryan Blaney to me is definitely a guy I want to keep an eye on here too at $11,500 because he was a contender to win in Fontana back in 2020. Very talented driver who actually did win that Michigan race that I said that Byron should have won. He did win in Atlanta, so he's good at similar tracks to this one. So I think that Blaney and Byron, the two standouts here, Harvick could be a standout if you expect a bounce back for him this year from what he did last year on tracks this big.
All right, let's hit one more tier, Jim, before we let you go here on this Friday. Below 9,700, we have Reddick at 9,500, Busch at 9,200. Wow, Brad Keselowski all the way down to 9,000. Maybe I'm missing something with his price this year. Bell is at 8,500. And then Cindric, the winner last week at the Daytona, is 8,000. So give me the summary there. And by the way, if you have anyone even at even lower price that you think is worth a dart throw, give me that too.
Yeah, so Keselowski's moving to a new team. It's RFK Racing, and they're not typically as competitive as Penske. Maybe they will be with Keselowski being there, but I think it's fair to be down on him to start. So I think that the guys I like most in this range are Chris Trabell and Tyler Reddick because they're young, talented drivers who have a lot of experience and good experience driving on slick tracks. Both these guys have a dirt background. Reddick, awesome in Homestead. It's a place with a lot of tire fall off. He had a top five run, didn't finish there, but a top five run in Atlanta in the second race last year. So I think that he grades out well for this track type. And then Bell is just a guy betting on equipment, betting on talent. Didn't run well on this track type last year, but I think he should going forward. So I think that Reddick and Bell, the two standouts for me in this range. If you want to dip a bit lower, I'm going to keep a close eye on Bubba Wallace at $6,000 because he ran really well in the two Pocono races last year. He had a top five finish in one of those races, a top 13 average running position in both those races as well. And I'm just expecting a jump forward for 2311 Racing in their second year. Same thing for Daniel Suarez at $4,500, the Trackhouse, where these two teams didn't exist for a long time before last year, now should make a step forward now they've had a full offseason together. I think that both Wallace and Suarez are guys I want to buy in early on this year, under the assumption those two brand new teams have taken a step forward from where they were last year in their debut season.
All right. Well, Jim, good luck this week. You know, obviously, you know, this is not my wheelhouse like it is yours with NASCAR, but certainly I follow the races. I follow all the time who wins.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
I always go back and I want to see, you know, based on the information, but, you know, clearly people can go over to NumberFire. They don't realize how many simulations you guys have going on there and can really help you out each and every week. And then we will catch up with you again next week, Jim. Hopefully we'll have some baseball to talk about with you here on the show.
Yeah.
Until then, thanks again for coming on.
Fingers crossed, Craig. Looking forward to it.
Hope so. All right, Jim Sanis. Follow him on Twitter at Jim Sanis. Work over at FanDuel and NumberFire. We'll take a quick break here on the show. We got the Sports Grid 60 coming up, as well as some fantasy baseball conversations. Stay on the grid. Don't go away. Break.
It's come to our
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. It is an annual tradition each and every year here on Fantasy Sports Today. We bring in my buddy Gray Albright during fantasy baseball draft season and throughout the fantasy baseball season as well. He wins leagues, he and his buddies and all the people working over at Razzball. They do a fantastic job. And I feel sad that it's taken me this long to get to Gray this year. Normally we bring him in late January, and here we are, closing in on the end of February. Gray, I have waited too long to have you and me here on this reunion here on the show, but we've had this lockout thing going on. It's been really tough, but it is great to see you. Happy New Year for the first time, and welcome back to the show. How are you?
Thanks. I'm glad we were able to work out the lockout between me, you, and Sports Grid. I'm back now. I agreed to terms. I took everything you were offering. I was like, you know what? Fine, let's do it.
Yeah. We really didn't have that much difference of opinion of the pay here. Okay. So I guess the question that we would start with, I know that you and I chat off the air, but being a fantasy provider like we are now, I mean, we're a provider of, you know, free information. People can watch our show 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but you have people who subscribe to your service. You have people that want to know information. What has it felt like this year without having any players playing in spring training, without having any baseball? More subscribers, less, the same? Is the passion more, less? I'm always wondering about that from somebody in your position.
Oh, wow. You sound like my accountant. I've been happily surprised that subscribers are doing, you know, we're getting a lot of subscribers. We've beaten our January and February for subscribers.
Really?
We've done really well. Yeah. I mean, the fans are still there for fantasy baseball. So yeah, we've done well.
I will say, I mean, this is going to sound like sacrilegious, but I kind of like the fact that there's no spring training games because we've had so few injuries. It's been really nice. I've been able, because you know, like when you're in the middle of a draft and you're like, mm-hmm. oh, this guy's totally taking longer just to see if any news breaks. Come on, right. man, just draft. But on this, you know, in this spring train, in this spring, well, not yet spring, but almost spring, there's been like nothing. There's been no news. So it's like everything is set in place and everyone who thinks like, you know, the Dalton Varsho is going to be the outfielder for the Diamondbacks. Like everyone continues to think that there's no spring training games to like cloud anyone's judgment when they see him get benched for someone. Like it's all just like, it's just fine. Nothing. There's no news. It's actually kind of nice.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like that. We like news here on We got a show to do here, Gray. You know, that's not going to work for our show. But I understand the sentiment. And certainly what Gray is alluding to is the Raz Slam, which is on right now, 4 hours per pick. And it's a best ball league. It's back again for another season. And Gray, tell us a little bit about that before we move on to some ADP discussion.
You know, now that you mentioned the Raz Slam, maybe like the Raz Slam is kind of like the lockout league of like the perfect lockout league because like there's you draft a team and then you don't set your lineup. The computer sets your best lineup for you. So you really like draft a team. And that's kind of all you do. It's like, it's so nice. It's low maintenance. I like low maintenance. I don't know. I enjoy it. So yeah, the Raz Slam, it's best ball. It's a 12 team league. It's four, like you said, it's 4 hours. So it's a slow draft. So it's 4 hours between picks. It's been really, I don't know. I've really been happy with the turnout. Everyone seems excited. Maybe because there is no actual games that like people are like so hyper focused on fantasy right now because there's nothing to distract them. But yeah, I mean, I'm actually pleasantly surprised with all the enthusiasm for the Raz Slam.
I'm in one of those leagues where everyone's complaining that everyone's taking too long. It's never fun to be in those leagues. I don't care. I mean, you could give me 20 hours. I'll take all 20 or not, depending on who you want me to be. Like, I'll be that guy that takes a minute. I'll be that guy that takes 4 hours. I don't care. But you know how those guys, oh, another, he took the whole clock. You know, I'm in one of those deals. You put something.
I had the good fortune of being on the turn. So I have the 12th pick. Mm. So I have, it's so nice because like in a slow draft, you get the 12th pick. So essentially that means you draft and then everyone else drafts two picks. So it takes forever to get back to you. So you can essentially close your draft window for like 20 hours and not have to worry about when anyone else is picking.
Yeah, I love it. All right. Well, Davis Matic and I agree. We play a little game of NFBC, too high, too low, just right. And so I'd love to play that game here with you a little bit. And let's discuss a couple of players who are being drafted based on the data in the NFBC. And let's start off today with Christian Yelich of the Milwaukee Brewers. In fact, yesterday on the show, Gray, we did Cody Bellinger, and it kind of feels like these two are kind of the same, like two guys, MVP, left-handed, they look lost. His ADP is right around 100 this season, down from what? First pick in the draft and the second round. Now he's down to a top 100 player. So is his NFBC ADP, Gray, is it too high? Is it too low? Is it just right? What do you got?
It's funny you mentioned Cody Bellinger because him and Yelich are they're in the same tier for my outfielder rankings. Like they're essentially, they're like 1A, 1B for like, can they still do something? You know, with Yelich's ADP, I think he's actually pretty spot on. If anything, maybe a hair too high. So what I think with Yelich is, I think he's still totally in the Brewers' good graces. So he's going to be in a plum spot in the lineup. The stadium is still good. You know, the lineup is a bit of a mess, but not terrible. And there's, you know, so there's going to be, so there's some good stuff there for Yelich still, but the problem is his launch angle is so far down. I think last year it was at 2.8. So anyone who knows angles or even, you know, the basics of geometry, there's a launch angle of 2.8 is not good. It's actually hilariously awful. His ground ball rate, Yelich's ground ball rate was around that of like Hosmer, who has a terrible ground ball rate. Ramiel Tapia, Nicky Lopez, Tim Anderson, like a lot of guys that are fast aside from Hosmer. So they're going to have high BABIPs. But, you know, Yelich is getting older. He's not as fast. He has such a high ground ball rate that it's going to be really hard for him to hit 20 plus homers. So, you know, if you're looking at a guy who could potentially give you 20 homers, maybe 10 steals and a 250 average on the floor, it's okay. I mean, like I said, he should still be in like the middle of the lineup. So he should still have like 80 runs, 80 RBIs at least on the low side. So he's not terrible, but he's really kind of blah. For like, I don't think the second round Christian Yelich is ever coming back.
Wow. Yeah. So pretty spot on, it sounds like, from Gray, where his ADP is. All right, let's go to the Tampa Bay Rays. Let's go to Shane McClanahan, their young pitcher who really was impressive last season. And look at his ADP, right around 112, probably his ADP on the Raz Slam last year. I'm going to guess was like 400 or 500. So this is a pretty meteoric rise. We know how the Rays do their pitchers. Very rare do they give an opportunity for a starting pitcher to throw 160 innings or 170 innings in the past. They give it to Glasnow, they give it to Charlie Morton. Will they give it to McClanahan? ADP of 112, Gray, too high, too low, just right.
You know, actually, I think McClanahan is a little bit too low. I'm surprised by that because fantasy people are usually the first ones to look at, like, you know, to find breakouts and to boost them up. Like, you think about Corbin Burnes last year. Everyone was in on him, and it was like, okay, well, McClanahan was always touted as a top prospect coming up through the minors. He's with a great club in a great stadium. He had a 45.5% ground ball rate last year, which is 33rd in the league, and that isn't what he needs. He doesn't even need ground balls. Like, ground balls are great, don't get me wrong, but he can strike people out. Like, he had a 10-plus K rate, a mid-2 walk rate. He has a 97-mile-per-hour four-seamer. He's really good. Like, I'm actually kind of surprised he is being drafted so late. I'm trying to get him in every single league.
All right, so there you go on Shane McClanahan. One more real quick. We only have about a minute left. Let's do Miles Straw, who's now on Cleveland. His ADP is 125, Gray. Is this just a guy to get steals late in the draft? We've got 30 seconds. Too high, too low, or just right on Miles Straw?
You know, Miles Straw was a guy coming into the draft season where I thought he was going to be drafted much later. But now he's up, like, really high for what he does. He's basically a four-homer, five-homer, 30 steal guy, which is fine. I mean, don't get me wrong. Steals have really dried up in the league, so that's good. But for that price, I just prefer Ramiel Tapia about 100 picks later.
All right. Makes sense. So Gray says Yelich is where he needs to be. Take Shane McClanahan ahead of his ADP and let Miles.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Straw go. and the lockout is over. Oh, no, just kidding. That was great to see you here. Appreciate you coming on the show. We'll catch up with you again next week, okay?
Thank you.
All right, Gray Albright with us, razzball.com. Make sure you check out their all their great stuff over on their website. They're going to help you with pitching all season long as well. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Maybe you're watching our show for the first time or listening on Sports Grid Radio. Regardless, I know that we are having new fans join us each and every day. Today, it is me, Craig Mish, along with George Kurtz, who's filling in for Davis Maddock. We talk fantasy sports with you each and every day from 12 to 1 Eastern. And also here at Sports Grid, we're constantly looking to improve the experience we provide for our listeners, viewers, and users of our products. So the best way to do that is to get input from our most important source, and that's listeners and viewers like you. We'd very much appreciate you taking a brief survey. You see the QR code there, survey.sportsgrid.com. And if you're listening on radio, it's also the same, survey.sportsgrid.com. We'd really love to hear from you. Your feedback's going to help us improve our programming, and we'll shape and create what we do next. So once again, that's survey.sportsgrid.com. We truly appreciate your time. As always, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching us here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Before we get to Brett Levy, I know he's ready for fantasy reality. George is leaving the house tonight. He's got a concert to go to. It is Journey. I'm very jealous. And Toto filling in for Billy Idol. I am supremely jealous that you get to go to this tonight. And I'll be watching some lame college basketball game.
Yeah, looking forward to it. We have, I think, a second concert for us within a couple of months. So at Genesis a few months back, it's at the UBS Arena where the Islanders play. So and the arena is beautiful, by the way. It really is. They have some work to do there as far as parking is concerned. Is out the park literally about 3/4 of a mile away, which is strange. Mm. I used to live in Elmont. If I was still there, I could literally just walk to the arena from my house. And boy, that'd probably get me in trouble, actually, Craig, because I don't know if there's a concert I would miss.
True. That's a fair point, too. We just got done seeing Billy Joel. We saw Rod Stewart trying to get tickets for Paul McCartney, but unless Paul is watching and willing to give us a couple tickets, I feel like I'd be having to work for Sports Grid for months to pay off that that credit card bill. So I think we're going to pass, but I'm going to accept today's fantasy reality. Here's Brett Levy.
All right, guys. Well, starting off today, we have some good ones. And we are going to start off with the NFL because a pretty fun story popped up last night as a little 9-year-old girl from Louisiana wrote in to the New Orleans Saints owner Gail Benson stating that she would be a great candidate for the team's open head coaching position at the time, saying, she's got straight A's in math class and she's a huge Saints fan, telling about the story. And the Saints sent her back a nice gift basket of a team-signed football and also let her know that she will be considered for any openings on Dennis Allen's staff for the upcoming year, which was kind of a fun story. So, George, we're going to ask you, or start with you for this one. You have written a letter to your favorite team or athlete. Obviously, I'm not talking about in the last year or so, just in your lifetime. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, I think if it may have been the last year or so, it may have been an angry letter. Actually, I'm not one of those people. I don't send tweets to athletes about anything or anything like that. I'm just not that guy. When I was younger, I'm really trying to rack my brain here because this does seem like something a 9-year-old me might have done. We got to understand a couple of things. No computers back then. All right. So you'd actually have to write out the letter, snail mail. Anyone who's seen my handwriting knows this is not a good idea. It wouldn't matter if I wrote anything. They wouldn't be able to read it. All right. My handwriting is bad. It's always been bad. I can show you report cards from when I was in grade school. Penmanship needs improvement. It did not improve. If anything, it's gotten worse. There is a reason I type. All right. So I honestly cannot remember myself ever sending one. I would really have to go check with my mom, who I will see later. I will ask this question if she remembers me ever sending a letter to an athlete. My favorite, be the Yankees or the Cowboys. Islanders growing up, was a huge Thurman Munson fan. I can certainly remember the day he passed. Then Greg Nettles was my next idol, I guess you would say here. Don Mattingly, then Paul O'Neill. As we got older, you know, Tony Dorsett, Roger Staubach, could certainly understand it, but I'm going to have to say no. I certainly don't remember one, Craig. It's not something I would be against as a 9-year-old me, but I can't remember myself ever sending one.
Do you think, George, before I answer this question, do you think me, Craig Mish, do you think that I have sent closer to one letter or closer to 1,000 letters? What would you say if you had to guess? Closer to one or closer to 1,000?
With those parameters, I'm going to say it's closer to 1,000. If you would have said 10, I might have gone the war. When you said 1,000, I don't know. Reading between the lines here, I got a funny feeling you're a writer.
My gosh, this is such a reality. I used to mail when I was a kid. I mean, I can't even. 1,000 is probably, I would set the over-under at 1,000, really. Still have a massive collection from through-the-mail autographs. And I even did it as a young adult, too, at different points. I think, like, it's the kind of thing you really have to sit down and bang out several, or else you just don't do it at all. I would say in the last 15 years, it's probably a zero. Or the last 10 years, maybe it's a zero. But, oh my gosh, I have some great ones. I remember some through the mail ones that I've gotten. I was on the verge of winning my fantasy football championship. I wrote a letter to Dan Reeves, who was then the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Dan Reeves wrote on a picture, "Good luck in the fantasy championship," from Dan Reeves. I mean, literally, I have so many of these things through the years. Baseball players, football players, not so much basketball, I don't think. I'm trying to not so much, but absolutely, unequivocally, this is a great question because it's also come up in my household recently because my son loves to get baseball cards autographed, and we go to spring training. We have so many pictures with all these guys. Can't get them signed now, obviously. So it is something that's come up, like, hey, maybe this is something that we should do and start sending letters through the mail. You'd be surprised about the kind of athletes who will send you back, you know, things through the mail. So it was strictly for autographs, without a doubt, and pictures. But I definitely have a massive, massive collection of baseball cards from the 80s and 90s. That are all signed by sending them through the mail. So, absolute reality.
All right. Well, Craig, in some baseball news, the Liberty Flames released new uniforms for their 2022 season yesterday, but they kind of did it in a different way. They made the announcement via TikTok. They went with a viral trend. I believe it's a Mariah Carey song that, you know, you do the whole skit. And it was a fun video, went viral. The jerseys look good, much better than the uniforms that we have pictured here from last season. So, Craig, we'll start with you for this one. TikTok will be the new way teams do jersey reveals. Is this a fantasy or reality?
I think some will. I think most will not. I'm going to say fantasy here. I mean, the most impressive TikToks have been the new head coach of LSU, Brian Kelly, you know, dancing around with all the guys that he ended up recruiting. By the way, some of those players did not end up going to LSU. I want to mention that as well. Look, TikTok is nice, but it's just the hottest thing. Like, if you said to me 5 years from now, is TikTok still a thing? I can't say 100% that I'm sure on that. I felt that way about Twitter. I felt that way about Instagram. Facebook has been around forever. Look, TikTok, it's been, I don't know what you would say right now in terms of its popularity. It's been what, like 2 years, I would say? It's been really, really popular. But the question is, will it peak? Will something else come along, take its spot? I think the answer is yes. Now, again, I don't have a TikTok account. I'm probably not the best person to ask. I know George is definitely not the best person to ask. But naturally, Brett wanted to stick it to him here on the show today. So the floor is yours, George. I'm going to say fantasy.
Yeah, I don't know if I can add much to this. I do not have a TikTok account either. My daughter is always sending me funny little TikToks, and they are funny. I enjoy seeing them. Some are more funnier than others, but she always sends them. Usually it's about a dog related or something like that. Do I think more, the question, this will be the new way? No, I agree with Craig. Some will. I have no doubt some will, but not all teams. I mean, oh, we got to go to TikTok because we're going to have our new alternate third jersey. You know, no. I think some will be on TikTok. Some could be on Twitter, Facebook, whatever they're going to use here. If the question would have been, will social media be the new way? I would say reality here, but you said specifically TikTok. So I think that's where I'll draw a distinction here. I'm with Craig here. Some will, most won't. Well, it'll happen again here, but social media will be the new way of teams getting out there because you have to do it. That's what everybody looks at nowadays. We're not really waiting for the 6 o'clock sports center anymore. We want the news right away, and that's social media.
All right. Well, now we are finally reaching our biggest question of the day. There's no doubt about it, George. This is the one that everyone wants the answer to. But yesterday, I saw on Twitter that a new Brock's Jelly Bean brand is coming out. It's called Late Night Taco Truck, and we are going to have taco-flavored jelly beans. So, George, you would try a taco-flavored jelly bean. Is this a fantasy or reality?
You know, the weirdest thing about this question is not the question itself, but this is the second jelly bean question I've been asked this week. All right. The first one was, have I ever tried Starburst flavored jelly beans? All right. And I like Starburst. I do. But I'm not a jelly bean guy. I do not like jelly beans. Okay. I know it's Easter, whatever. I don't even know when that is either. I'm not a very religious person. But I'm not a big jelly bean guy. Okay. You know, if the Easter Bunny is bringing me jelly beans, I'm not going to eat them. I might throw them at you. I like throwing them. Always just kidding. I like throwing them at people. That's kind of fun.
That's nice,
but I'm not going to eat them. Yeah. I know. I'll throw them at you. I'm not eating. If I want a jelly bean or any candy, it means I want sweetness. I love tacos. I do not want a taco jelly bean. This is like, oh, why? Why would I do this? I got a Taco Bell around the block. I haven't been to Taco Bell since I was like 19. Last time I was at Taco Bell, I spent the night in the bathroom, and I'm just not going there again. I can make better
Great
tacos.
Stories today.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm here to help, folks. I'm here to help. So this is definitely a fantasy. All right, unless you told me I need a sweet kick and you told me, oh yeah, they're good, have a jelly bean. Maybe, oh, it's awful. It's not, you know, I don't want to strangle you with it. I would throw it at you again. So no, this is a definite fantasy. I am not going to try a taco flavored jelly bean. No way, no how.
Yeah, what's funny is that as part of my daughter is going to be in a play coming up very soon, and as part of it, the little giveaways are actually jelly beans. So they've been in my house lately. And so I've been eating jelly beans more than often. I probably hadn't had in a year or two. And lately I've been stealing these little boxes of jelly beans. I think they're Jelly Belly, if I'm not mistaken. Some of them just don't taste good at all. I'm like, ooh, this was not one that I would have liked. But listen, for Brett's question, I would try it. I mean, it's a tiny jelly bean. It's like a couple of centimeters. I would be curious if somebody put it in front of me and said, listen, do you want to try it or do you want to throw it away? I may try it. I'll be honest. I may try it. Now, I don't know if I will enjoy it or not, but something so simple and so easy just to compare and contrast to the tastes of some of the other ones, I definitely think I would do. I would say that while I am not a jelly bean connoisseur, lately I've had them. And like George said, there are some that after I eat, I'm like, oh, what did I do here? I don't know what flavor it was, but like, oh, this one was not one that I wanted. So hopefully that answers the question. So fantasy for George, reality for me on the jelly beans. All right, coming up next, it's the Sports Grid 60. Then we got to get out of here on this Friday. The week went by really fast on the show. We got Donnie and Kevin standing by at 1 o'clock Eastern, followed by Scott Farrell, 3 to 6 Eastern. Davis and I will be right back here on Monday. Will we have good news for the baseball community? Not really sure. We'll be right back to wrap up our show here on this Friday. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're on Sports Grid. Donnie, Kevin standing by to take you from 1 to 3 Eastern. Scott Farrell, his extra hour, officially the first week of that, is almost wrapped up. He'll be on from 3 to 6 Eastern today. Lots of college basketball, of course, tomorrow. Big, big games in a lot of the conferences. All right, let's turn it over to George Kurtz. He wraps us up with the Sports Grid 60.
You know, I don't think it's out of whack to say that Craig and I are probably the two biggest baseball fans at this network here. And I can't go with the show without baseball. I'm worried about this weekend. I am. Because I'm worried that the talks are going to break up and that they're not going to meet together. Oh, we don't know when we'll meet again. And I think that's when it gets serious here. I wish these two sides would really get real. They're so far apart here. They know the other side's not going to budge. They're trying to play through the media and everything they're saying here. And that's not working. The other side doesn't care what you say through the media. They're going to respond with their own threats. And I don't think threats get this thing solved. So I said, I'm worried, Craig. I'm worried that things are going to break down, that we won't know when they're going to meet again. Right now, the meetings are kind of useless anyway. They're meeting for 15, 20 minutes, and they break up. They meet again 15, 20 minutes. Nobody budges on anything. Both sides want what they want rather than compromise someplace in the middle. And, Craig, I think this is could be a very sad weekend for us.
Yeah, it could be. I think that for probably, I would say, for about 2 weeks straight, every day I get a text from someone either asking me what I know about the lockout or what kind of fantasy content I'm doing right now on on Sports Grid. Either one question or the other every single day. And both questions are hard to answer. Learning your limits as to how much you will spend on different things is definitely something that I'm experiencing right now with Paul McCartney. My gosh, he's coming to a venue in South Florida that only seats about 5,000-6,000 people, and the tickets are about $5,000-$6,000. So to think that I could potentially buy a car as opposed to seeing a concert is definitely something that has woke me up a little bit to buying concert tickets, but hopefully cheaper in my future. Thank you to Parker at LTN. Thank you to, of course, Danny and Ryan. Thank you to Brett Levy and my co-host, George Kurtz. I'm Craig Mish. Have a great week.